The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for professional medical advice. Sweaty and pissed, sweaty and pissed.
Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed. Hello, my darling.
Oh, hi, Leanne.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody, to Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More. I'm Karen Nickel. Nurse practitioner.
Smartest person in the world. Mm. And I'm Leanne Morgan. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm fun. I'm a comedian. And I'm tickled to be back, my angel.
Yes. And we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about ovarian cancer because this is
September, the Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month.
Correct. So we thought we might as well put some awareness out there and talk about symptoms and...
Yeah. Do you know that I have two people very close to me that have gone through ovarian cancer?
Is that right?
Yeah. One of them is Karen Mills that tours with me.
Oh,
another comedian. Very funny. You need to look her up.
Yeah.
She went through it and is doing well.
Is she good?
And then a friend of my kids went to school with, their mom, who is a doll, and she's doing great.
That's good.
I mean, went through, you know, the whole chemo, went through the whole thing, but she's really doing well. But because of her and different, you know, because I'm a comedian, I get hired to do a lot of shows, fundraisers, and whatever for Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month in September. And the doctors here in Knoxville are wonderful. Dr. Kilgore and Kendall and Boone. And so they, I give them a hard time. And I always say Dr. Kilgore is like the Elvis of gynecological health, and Dr. Campbell is like the Justin Bieber, but also Dr. Boone, I'm in love with him and mess with him. But anyway, they always get up before the entertainment and they talk about all the symptoms and all that kind of stuff. And you know, because you take care of me, that every time I hear symptoms of anything, I think I've got them. But I'm telling you, I have a lot of these symptoms, but I think they go hand in hand with, you know, other things. So anyway, we wanted women to know what these things are to look for and all that kind of stuff.
So did you do an event this month?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple. Well, last week, I guess. Oh. My time is running together. My little mama's still in the hospital, and that we've talked about before on our podcast. But but Lucille's doing good. She's progressing. It's just slow. So I have been on back and forth on the road to Nashville at Vanderbilt, and then I've been doing shows. And so I'm a loon. And I've been training for a ultra a scary
she's trained so well she doesn't know what
it is. I know
I
can't even talk about it. I'm doing for Make-A-Wish East Tennessee.
Yes.
I'm doing a what am I trying to say? It's not severe. What am I trying to say?
A marathon.
It's
a what?
Well, it's a hike. It's a what do they call? I mean, it's a
extreme.
Extreme. Karen,
I love
you
this
should
game.
I should just open my mouth and you okay, so extreme hike, and you do it in one day. And Charlie, my son, did it last year, and my husband did it, and Chuck. And I was booked and couldn't do it. And so my daughter, who worked for Make-A-Wish, and now she's with Children's Hospital, but she is still over the still working with the event. Anyway, she said, please do it this year. And Chuck said, there's no way, Leanne. You're in the worst shape of your life. You cannot do it. And then my son, Charlie, who is perfect, and from heaven, said, yes, you can, Mom. Yes, you can. You can start training. You'll be fine. Just start exercising. Because you know I have not been, and I'm sorry. And I've apologized to you several times. But anyway, he said, just start. This was in the spring. And so I raised a certain amount of money. I'm still trying to raise my money. And that will go directly to a child's wish that is critically ill. And, so I'm supposed to have been training like three miles one day, 4 miles the next day, and then a bigger hike on the weekend. And I've been able to do most of the time, but the heat has been awful. 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And my mom being in the hospital and having a child sick too. I've had a child, you know, recovering from something. So I'm scared out of my mind, but I have been able to. I did Mount LeConte one weekend, which is,
yeah,
it was like building a railroad.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never in my life.
That's a steep hike.
That is a steep
really
one.
Steep.
You're yeah. supposed to have spikes on your feet, and I wore Asics. And I don't know how Chuck and our marriage survived it. But anyway, I did that one, and then I did a big hike last weekend, and we saw a bear. And I know people are listening to us from all over the United States, and let me tell you, I hate to brag, but we live near the Smoky Mountains, and they are beautiful, and we have a little black bear. And that was a round little yummy, not a baby, but a young black bear. And so we were like, crap, where's her mama? But there was no mama around. But my son was with us, Charlie, who is an outdoorsman, and he said, I bet that little thing came down for water in a spring or you know, little creek, and then is going back up.
Yeah.
And he's maybe behind his mama. We were hoping so.
Well, and if where there are little bears, there are big bears.
Yeah. And we were freaked out. It was a bunch of women, honey.
Bear.
Yeah, it was a bunch of women in Lululemon, and we couldn't have done anything but just lay on the ground. But anyway, so that's this weekend, and so I have been training for that, and I'm fat, and I've got to do, but you know, I have felt so much better doing, and I'm going to continue to do it, and who knows, I may go all over the United States and do extreme hikes.
Well, and so where is this taking place?
At Lookout Mountain, Chattanooga.
Oh.
I know, it'll be beautiful, up on a ridge.
Yeah, we start a gorgeous view.
4:30 in the morning. We have to wear a headlamp. And then the sun will come up, and there's stations every 7 miles, and there will be, I guess, a hole in the ground, and I can TT. And then there's a hope. I need a toilet. I need chapstick and a toilet, and I can do anything. And then there's, they'll give you bars or nuts or whatever, and water. Yeah. And I don't want to walk with my husband because he won't chat. I'm not going to walk with him. I'm going to walk with my boy, but he'll take off, and I don't know, you know, he could probably run it.
Yeah.
But I've got friends doing it, and you know, many, but and it's a small group doing it.
Oh, really?
And my daughter keeps saying, "You'll be fine, Mom." Let me read what she said, because I told Forrest, our producer, and Karen. They said, "How many miles are you doing?" And I said, 27.2. And where did I get that?
And Karen said, "Well, that's an odd number. Where are we getting 27.2?
I know. I said, "Is that like a marathon?" But she goes, No. So I texted my daughter, Maggie, who is over the event, and I said, "How many miles am I walking?" And she said, "You worry me, girl. You don't know anything, sis." 26. And so it's 26 miles. So, yay, because that last, I guess, 1.7 I thought was going to kill me. But I've been trying to train.
So do you have any idea what that pace is? I mean, how long is that going to take?
Charlie said it's about 2 miles an hour.
2 miles. So you're going to be there doing that 13 hours.
Oh, yeah. You start out at 4:30, and he said there's people. A girl ran it last year. A little girl ran it. And she does them all the time. And her mom and daddy, like, they had T-shirts with her head on it. And then he said there were, because this whole time I'm going, I don't know if I can do it. And he goes, Mom, there's old people that did it. There were people that are on a weight loss journey that have lost 100 pounds. They can do it. You can do it. You know, it's almost like in those old movies when somebody would slap somebody so they wouldn't be hysterical. I think one of my kids are going to have to smack me, but he goes, Mom, you'll be fine. And Maggie said the adrenaline will go. Yeah. You know, everybody will be excited. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try it, honey, and I'm trying to raise money.
You'll do great.
Thank you.
All those nuts and bars you can have along the way. It'll be fun.
Well, I won't have to poop because we all know I can't. So I'm not worried about that. But I do need to wee-wee. But if I've got fun people to do it with, and I've been training with a girl, and then my friend Christy's doing it too, and a girl named Becky, and they're fun. And so, you know, and if Forrest will help me download some music onto my...
There you go. Get you a mixtape.
iPod.
Yeah.
My Nano. Maybe I can. I'm so out of it. But anyway, that's what I've been doing. And that, and I've been trying to make people laugh. But I did the ovarian event.
Yeah.
And every year, I've done it now for like 5 years in a row. That's, and I keep thinking they're going to get tired of me, but no, they haven't. But it's hard to find teal, let me tell you. I'm running out of my teal outfits, but because teal's the color, the official color for ovarian awareness.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize that.
But they get up and tell that, and they tell about the Gardasil shot, and everybody needs to get the Gardasil shot.
Yep. One of the fastest growing cancers is HPV throat cancer in men. So,
and they talked about that, and they said, we don't know why it was politicized when it came out, or what, it was just done the wrong way, and that people don't realize that they've got to get this shot. Yeah.
I think that some parents feel that by having their child get that vaccination, that they're somehow saying to the child, it's okay to have sex. And the message that needs to be out there is that it is the only vaccine we have that can prevent cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing to hold on to.
Yes.
You know, but I think people tend to see that as an invitation to have sex for their children. And that's just not what it's about. It's about protecting your child from a virus that can cause cervical cancer, penile cancer, throat cancer, rectal cancer,
And you said to Charlie Morgan when he was going to college, to my boy, you said, Charlie, 8 out of 10 girls are carrying the HPV virus on a college campus.
Yeah.
And I heard that again, friend of mine who volunteers something around the University of Tennessee campus.
Yeah.
And so, okay, say your baby stays like a pilgrim, and they haven't done anything. Well, most likely, if their partner that they marry or whatever has had any kind of sexual partner, then Dr. Kimball was trying to explain that the numbers, I mean, you've just got to protect yourself.
Right, and I also hear parents saying, I don't want the risks of the vaccine. I don't want to, jeopardize my child's health by giving him or her a vaccine that might hurt him or her. And I always say, look, there's 80% chance they'll get HPV. There's 1 in a million chance that they'll have a significant complication secondary to having the Gardasil vaccine. So, you need to really realistically weigh the risks and benefits. But that's a good message to send out for sure. Well, so on ovarian cancer, the average age of women who get ovarian cancer is age 63. So we have higher risk as we get older. In the 60s and 70s are the highest risk for developing ovarian cancer. And the tricky thing about ovarian cancer is that oftentimes it gets diagnosed late because the symptoms are a little vague and can be mistaken for other problems. We'll have things like abdominal bloating or pelvic bloating. And some people just think, okay, that's, it's my IBS, my irritable bowel syndrome, or it's I shouldn't have eaten that pizza last night. Uh-huh. Or, it's easy to chalk that up to some bowel problem. Because typically people don't have much pain until a mass is big enough that it's pretty far advanced at that point. So it's tricky. And that's the way you can really help catch those things early is by getting your regular gynecological exams. A pelvic exam is so important. So even if the Pap isn't indicated every 2 or 3 years, the pelvic exam is the only way we can really feel the uterus and ovaries to feel if there's some enlargement. Mm-hmm. I do have patients ask for a blood test, a CA-125. which is a cancer marker that can be associated with ovarian cancer, but it is not a good screening tool because it can be elevated if you've just had your period, or it can be elevated if you have endometriosis. So we don't really have a blood test that's a really very good screening tool. Mostly the CA-125 is used if you do an exam and you feel some thickening in part of the pelvis or a mass in the pelvis on exam, then we will draw a CA-125 and see if that's elevated along with getting an ultrasound. So it's a little more, it's a really more of an investigatory lab versus a screening lab. But I'm glad to hear that the people you know are doing well. How far are they from their diagnosis?
Oh, years, both of them.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
But I remember traveling with Karen, and she would say, I just get so full. I can't eat, but I'm losing weight. I mean, she was losing weight. And when I saw her, I hadn't seen her in a while, and she got out of the car, and I was like, oh, my gosh, she had lost so much weight. And she goes, oh, I haven't. Look how bloated I am.
Mm.
And she had two masses mm-hmm. on each ovary.
Mm.
And but she was tiny. And so, but she said she felt like she could, she was urinating
mm-hmm.
frequently. She couldn't empty her bowels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something?
Yeah, because when the mass gets bigger, it's putting pressure on the bladder. It's putting pressure on the colon. Unintentional weight loss is
a big one.
A warning sign. Anytime anyone has unintentional weight loss, that needs to be investigated. So, she has sort of classic symptoms, the bloating and bowel and bladder symptoms and weight loss.
Mm-hmm. And tired.
Tired.
She was exhausted.
Yeah.
And but she just thought, going through menopause.
Yeah.
I pee all the time. Yeah. I can't poop. She just thought, oh, this is just normal. And I remember looking at her and going, I don't know. I mean, you were so tiny, Karen. And she'd say, oh, I'm not lost weight. She didn't even realize it. But she went to her gynecologist, and she did the exam on the table, mm-hmm. regular pelvic, mm-hmm. and she said, Karen, get up and put your clothes on,
mm-hmm.
and send her immediately to somebody. Mm-hmm. So that's how big her masses were. Mm-hmm. Now, my other friend, I can't remember how hers was diagnosed, but they were saying the other night that it's very, like, you just don't, these other symptoms, you got to put these symptoms together and tell your doctor.
Yeah, because especially women, we tend to sort of, like you said, I'm tired, I feel bloated, it's definitely, there are definitely symptoms that we can pass off as some other problem going on that we are sort of day-to-day kind of problems. But you're right, if you are having a set of symptoms, it's always important to try to put those together and definitely give your provider that information so they can make a accurate diagnosis and do appropriate testing. And so it's there are some ways to help prevent ovarian cancer, like people who've taken birth control pills for years tend to have fewer people with ovarian cancer who have taken the birth control pills all those years.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. There's probably just you're basically shutting your ovaries down during while you're taking birth control pills. So maybe that they aren't active, but it definitely lowers the occurrence rate. So that can help. Having children reduces your risk, so that's good too. So,
oh
yeah, and I'm sure I should have looked up if their ovarian cancer awareness has a official website. Surely they do.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah,
so
I think
they can give
it.
You some information about signs and symptoms to look for. But like I said, the part of the problem is oftentimes people have big masses, like your friend, have big masses by the time they figure out something's wrong. So, mm-hmm. so definitely your regular GYN exam is very important.
And I remember Dr. Kilgore saying last year he read a letter from a woman who had five children, and she had it, and it was in late stage. And he read this letter, and she was saying, you know, I knew something wasn't right. Like, I was just too tired, and I was, she was having some other symptoms, and she would try to tell her provider, and they just didn't. They go, oh, well, you've got five kids, or you're starting perimenopause, or whatever, and didn't. And she was in that letter. She was just telling people, just, you know, your body, if something's not right, keep pressing, keep asking your doctor to, you know, to consider this, not just blow you off.
Yeah.
And I thought that was sad. There wasn't a dry eye in the room.
Oh,
I know. But, you know, I mean, people tend to, you don't, you don't, you're on top of my everything.
Well,
but you are. But if I say something, you look into it. But, you know, not everybody does.
Yeah, and even a simple CBC blood test, you know, if you're all of a sudden developing anemia, especially if you're a menopausal woman, you're no longer having periods, you know, that's something that needs to get worked up, and that can be a sign. Even if you can pass off all the other symptoms, you know, as a provider, if you are seeing new onset anemia, that's often caused by some form of cancer. You have to start digging around to figure out what you're dealing with. So
let me ask you this real quick. I know we need to finish up, but
yeah.
Like any kind of irregular bleeding or spotting,
and that, for especially things like endometrial cancer, if you're postmenopausal and you have a period, you need to be seen, and that needs to get worked up, because that's concerning for endometrial cancer. Most of the time when people have postmenopausal bleeding, it's fine. It you know, the biopsies are fine, and but it can be a sign of endometrial cancer. And you know, if you have any other GYN cancer, sometimes bleeding can be a warning sign that something's wrong there. So, again, especially in menopausal women. And if you're not menopausal, then if your periods all of a sudden get very, you know, change significantly, or in terms of timing, or a heaviness, length of flow, that needs to be investigated too. Say you're in your 40s and you're having periods, although a lot of that happens with perimenopause. But, you know, if it's really changes, that needs to be looked into.
What about uterine? Is there anything that comes up with uterine?
Well, with uterine cancer, you could have bleeding. You could have, again, the needing to pee all the time. You know, that pressure feeling, or difficulty with having bowel movements, depending on if there's a mass that's on more on the outside of the uterus that can cause some pressure. We don't see uterine cancer as often as cervical or ovarian. Ovarian's the most common gynecologic cancer. So,
well, I bet there is. I bet there's a website that people could go look at. Probably should have known what that was, but I know that there's ovarian. The National Ovarian Association is on Instagram, and ovarian cancer awareness. You can hashtag that and Google, and I'm sure there's a website where you can look into all the symptoms and things to, you know, questions that you might have, but. I'm glad we got to talk about it in the month of September.
Me too. So if you have any of those symptoms, or certainly if you have a lot of those symptoms, you need to talk to your primary care provider or your gynecologist and get that checked out.
Yes. And do you mind? I'm going to tell everybody my dates.
Oh, yeah.
Before we go today. All right. Where in the world am I going to be? This will, okay, Sumter South Carolina, Walhalla, South Carolina, Chattanooga. Oh, how do you say Waukesha, Wisconsin? Waukesha? Waukesha? I don't know.
I think it's Waukesha.
Waukesha?
That sounds right.
Everybody from there is going, oh my gosh.
Augusta, Georgia, Phoenix, Charlotte, North Carolina, Austin, Texas, San Antonio, Texas. I don't know. And dates are being put on my website all the time. I'm exhausted. But if you come and see my show, I will usually have taken a nap and I'll be fine. And I'll be so peppy. But you can go to LeighAnnMorgan.com.
Perfect.
For that. And we have a Facebook page, Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a fan page, Leighann Morgan Comedy, I think is what it's called. I don't know. You'll be able to find it. I post Sweaty and Pissed stuff on it, too. Okay.
And before we go, just the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition is at ovarian.org. It's pretty simple.
Oh, good.
Ovarian.org. So you can find them there and find signs and symptoms.
Thank you for being so detailed.
Oh, well, it's great to have you. And
I know it is.
Talk about ovarian cancer during the month of September. And we're glad you're listening. And visit us on the Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, I know. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.